Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
We're back on FST. Mike and Kevin, for the next 2 hours, talking AFC South. We'll mix in some of the Hall of Fame stuff, which we didn't get to in the last segment. We just got carried with Broncos and some other stuff. But it's good. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we're not changing format in any way. We're going to continue to talk fantasy football all day, every day. But we're going to mix in some relevant items now related to daily fantasy sports, as we've always done, and related to betting lines and things of that nature. We just think that one is connected to the other. We feel like we'll always continue to be a good source, the best source for fantasy news and notes and projections. But the reality is we think that talking to those of you out there that, you know, play games and maybe in a state where gambling has become legal, we think it's important to provide that information as well. So you'll hear me continue to talk about that as much as we can on any of the shows. And if you want to reach out to us with any questions, again, do so by the phone line at 844-843-6879 or on Twitter at FNTSY Radio, at Mike Blewett, at the Kevin Walsh. So we're going to turn the page over to the AFC South, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
And we will start it with the Jaguars. Jaguars are the favorites to win this division, according to Vegas, which may be these odds may be slightly outdated, but Vegas had the Jags at minus 140 to make the playoffs, which were the shortest odds in the AFC South, right in front of the Texans at minus 135, Titans at plus 165, Colts at plus 325. So we'll start it out with the Jaguars. Clearly the most fantasy-relevant person there is Leonard Fournette. An interesting piece of news that I heard really over the course of the last week, and I was off last weekend, so I haven't had a chance to talk about any of this stuff. By the way, I played in my baseball tournament last weekend. A lot of fun. Was in Annapolis, Maryland, which is a beautiful town. And, you know, came home no worse for wear. We did not take home the championship. I thought we were the best team, but we lost on Friday night by a run. I was on second, and I think we lined out or flew out to end the game, but I would have been the winning run and just a bummer. And then we crushed the team the next day. So enough about that. I didn't play particularly well. I'm getting old, and I'm out of shape, and it is what it is. So but thank you, Kevin and George, for filling in admirably. I know you guys did NFC South and NFC East.
Yeah.
So
wrapped up the NFC.
Well, good stuff there. But we'll start with the Jaguars today. We're going to do AFC North tomorrow. And the interesting piece of news that I heard was that Leonard Fournette has lost 15 pounds. He's obviously really big back. He took some weight off, and it reminded me of a player who has become one of the best fantasy players in all of fantasy football, and that's Le'Veon Bell. Because when Le'Veon Bell came out of Michigan State, he was a much bigger back, and he started off his career. He had an ankle injury. He was carrying more weight. He had an ankle injury, missed a few games to start his rookie season, and had an okay, fairly productive rookie season. But it was clear that he wasn't ever 100% in that rookie year. Now, fast forward to his sophomore season, second season in the NFL, and Bell was unbelievable. And he had lost a bunch of weight. Same thing. Almost the same storyline. He lost 15 pounds, and he crushed it. He was obviously really good in that year and off to the races, but he effectively changed his body type. no one's here is going to argue, because he's right now listed at 6'1", 225. He kind of came into the league closer to 240. And his second season, he only played those 13 games in his rookie season. And in his second season, he upped the carries by nearly 50. He ran for 1,361 yards. He caught 83 passes, 854 yards. He had 2,200 scrimmage yards in his second season, which is the most in his career, by the way. Clearly, he's had others where he's missed games and the like. But he played all 16 games, the only time he ever did that. And he was great after changing his body type. They are different styles of player, but I just wonder, it's in the back of my head since I heard this, does Leonard Fournette's weight loss contribute to him being a quicker, more in-shape player?
I think for fantasy, in a way, you would almost just hope that the benefit is durability. He gave you 9 touchdowns and over 1,000 yards last year in the 13 games that he played. And when you look at the way this offense is constructed, if you get 16 games out of him, the baseline is 1,000-plus rushing yards and double-digit touchdowns. And if him getting in shape now allows him to be more explosive. He only averaged 3.9 yards per carry last year. To be more explosive and pop some bigger runs and make and be maybe a little bit more elusive and not just having to rely on running through people. That's a big advantage. And if he's more effective in the passing game through losing weight, then Leonard Fournette is probably being underdrafted and underrated throughout the league. We'll have to see the return. I do think my biggest hope would be, if I was a Jaguars fan, if I was a Leonard Fournette owner, is that this can now give me 16 games of Leonard Fournette as opposed to 12, 13 or so.
Yeah, I think that's true. Right now he's the 9th running back off the board. And when you talk about the numbers that you just went over, perhaps a little bit more durability, he isn't known to be a great pass catcher, but he still caught 36 passes. He had double-digit touchdowns already. To your point, like, if that's the baseline last year, 1,342 yards from scrimmage and 10 touchdowns, you're good to go, clearly. Yeah. And just to get a sense of where he finished last year as a rookie, last year he was RB, I'm getting it for you. I should know this off the top of my head, but I've got too many players swimming around up there over the course of the last couple of days. He was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So he was 9th, and he comes 9th preseason this year. So let me ask you this then before we move over to a different position. Mm-hmm. Right now, let me get to PPR, sorry. Fantasy Pros, I'm going to their ranks. Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette. How many guys do you move him up?
I think of that group, I could listen on him being up as in front of Hunt, Barkley, and Kamara. Hunt, right? You'd have to. I mean, and I think you have to have more question marks
Not
about those
Gordon.
Guys. I didn't hear Gordon. Yeah, and Gordon. I think you can get as far as that. The top four are untouchable, I think. I think that they're clearly where they belong, and I think you can kind of make arguments for really any way of that next tier. Some people may be a little bit surprised to hear Alvin Kamara's name be mentioned in that, at least for me. I do think that just knowing, like, I'm going to get a certain number of touches out of Leonard Fournette, right? Like, I think, again, if you get 16 games, you're looking at probably or at least 300 carries, and he had 48 targets last year. So if that gets up to 60, 65 targets, I feel a little bit better about that. I only even mentioned Kareem Hunt's name in that because I actually do feel pretty good about Kareem Hunt. It's just the fact that Andy Reid last year at some point stopped giving him the football, and maybe if a rookie quarterback could be done. I do feel pretty good about Kareem Hunt. I think that's fine where Fournette is. I just think that you can get value because also Andrew Norwell, who was an all-pro guard last year for the Carolina Panthers, comes over. So that right there has to be a boost for Fournette as well.
I would listen on 3 of those. I would listen on Barkley, Gordon, and Hunt. I don't think I would listen on Kamara. It's not to say it's inconceivable, obviously, but I don't think I would listen on Kamara. I don't think you could sway me on Kamara, but yeah, I could see Fournette being as high as 6. With Cook and McCaffrey right behind him, I certainly would take Fournette. So there you go. But that, you know, it gives you some sense of where he's at. Maybe losing the weight is a positive. So quarterback position. Let me see where Blake is. Boy, Blakey, who I once termed the fantasy magician, because as bad as he was just kept putting up numbers, just kept doing it. But the magic is most likely gone because their defense is so good they don't have to, like, throw from behind anymore. You know, he went 10-6 last year. He completed 60% of his passes for 7 yards per attempt, 230 yards per game. He had 21 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Relatively pedestrian, but, you know, middle of the pack kind of stuff. Their offense in general had, I mean, they scored the fifth most points in the league. They had the sixth most yards. They were 21st in passing attempts. They ran the most plays in the league, by the way. 527 passing attempts and 527 rushing attempts. So split right down the middle as far as play calling is concerned. And they were first in rushing attempts, first in rushing yards, second in rushing touchdowns. But their passing numbers were right around, you know, middle of the pack, 15 to 20 range, kind of in there. Net yards per pass attempt was 11th in the league for the Jags, so they're not dinking and dunking with Bortles. You know, he's got a huge arm. He is a very good athlete. But for fantasy purposes right now, he's ranked at, I believe, 21 as this comes back up. So 22. You would have to be only using him. And he's one of my dynasty league quarterbacks. He and Phillip Rivers have been.
So we're getting a little bit of feedback there from Mike's audio. So we'll see if we can just get that sorted. A little bit of the connection. We'll get that sorted. You know, you could hear, he was talking about Blake Bortles, and I do think that this is a very, very big season for Blake Bortles. And some might say, most people would say it's a big season, but some have already written Blake completely off. And I understand why. The numbers have not been fantastic. The one thing I would say is it is only going to be his fifth season in the league. It can be dangerous to completely write guys off. And Bortles last year, I mean, it was his highest completion percentage in a year, his second best yards per attempt. He had only the 21 touchdowns. He did throw his fewest interceptions, mainly because it was his second fewest ever attempts. I mean, the first year he only played 14 games, so probably on a per-game basis, the fewest passing attempts of Bortles' career. And I do think that he was put in a poor spot those first couple of seasons in Jacksonville. It was a little bit, it was a bad spot. They thought that they were going to sit and they were going to wait on Bortles to kind of come through a little bit later on. But they had to go to him quickly. You know, they said he was not going to play that whole first year. He's played 14 games. So it lets you know how quickly they had to make that change. And then he threw, in 2015, 606 attempts. 2016, 625 attempts. He's throwing passes as often as Blake, as Drew Brees or as Phillip Rivers. That's not the quarterback that Blake Bortles is. He's never going to be any type of superstar. He's never going to be a top 10 quarterback. But maybe he can improve. And I think people would say, look at this defense. If you want to have a quarterback that you can say, okay, I can win a Super Bowl if this guy's my quarterback. The Jaguars were up 10. With 8 minutes to go against the Pats. And if they get to that Super Bowl, who knows what happens? And yes, I do think that if they had a better quarterback, then maybe that thing is all locked up. But maybe they could win some type of Super Bowl with Blake Bortles. I don't think so. I don't think so. And for fantasy-wise, I'm not trying to draft Blake Bortles. He had you that magical 2015 season where he threw for 4,400 yards, 35 touchdowns. I mean, they were big-time numbers, and it was nice. I don't think that's who Blake Bortles is, but maybe he can get a little bit better. That's really the big question, I think, for maybe this Jaguars team as a whole. We're talking about Leonard Fournette. You know, one of the things that can lead to Leonard Fournette's very, very low return in terms of yards per carry, the 3.9, is that they didn't really have to respect the receiving game, especially with Blake Bortles at quarterback, and certainly when Allen Robinson went down. And that is one of the damning things about this Jacksonville Jaguars roster. The receiving core is even worse than last year's receiving core. And that's taking into account that Allen Robinson missed the time that he did. They also lost Allen Hurns. And maybe, you know, you can have all the opinions of you want on those guys, but they were clearly the two best guys on this team. Right now, you know, their top three wide receivers, Keelan Cole, Marquise Lee, and Dante Moncrief. It's just nothing to write home about. Austin Seferian Jenkins, does he come in and does he add another dynamic? Maybe, but I would not bank on that in any way. So that's where, you know, I'm looking at this team and I'm looking at this offense, and how much can the surrounding pieces elevate Blake Bortles? I think they did everything they could last year to continue to give the ball to Leonard Fournette, and bringing over Andrew Norwell can help. But now, if this team is to take any type of notable step, it's going to be up to Blake Bortles to take a step in his career. We heard Austin Seferian Jenkins say that of that draft class, he's the only quarterback still starting. He's the only one to win a playoff game. That people are a little bit hard on Blake Bortles, and he's only in year five, was what Seferian Jenkins said. And there is some validity to that. It is dangerous to write quarterbacks off. It's just what I was talking about with the guys from the LA Rams. Everybody was ready for Jared Goff to be cut after one season. Case Keenum didn't deserve a job. Foles was ready to retire. Now, I'm not saying Jeff Fisher is not Blake Bortles' coach. And I'm not here banging the drum that Blake Bortles needs to be respected more. But maybe there is room for improvement as well. He's only entering his fifth season. I do think, though, this year more than others, that improvement is important, because now, look at the division. Watson back, Luck back. They are back to the spot where Blake Bortles is the worst quarterback in this division. And that is always going to be something that is difficult to overcome, having that worst quarterback in a division. We come right back here. We'll talk a little bit more Jaguars, look at that defense, and view that schedule for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Start to this segment. I don't know what they call this, death metal. Is that what you call that, Deb Wall? Very dangerous.
This is very dangerous. I feel like I'm being attacked.
So, if you enjoy daily. Is it really?
What?
Well, then I love it.
Oh, it's Gabe, right? Is
That's
that what
Gabe,
it is?
Gabe Morency, Game Time Decisions. Monday through Friday, 4 to 6, and the schedule is going to be changing. Gabe's going to be doing some different shows, different content for us. 4 to 6 on Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Monday through Friday. You hear me on that every Monday, usually around right before 5 o'clock, right after 5 o'clock. He's in a band called
Homicide.
I don't know if you know the name of the band. That's it, Homicide. And they're like a death metal band. So, you know, I got caught off guard there. I love Gabe. And it's not my favorite style of music, but that was it. He was in a band for a long time. I think he still continues to record with them to this day. So that was him. I didn't know it was him. Well, anyway, transitioning over to do my read. If you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports, but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Just invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches. No experts to compete against. Just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So, heard you talking a little bit. Sorry, I had a technical issue there, folks, but heard you talking a little bit about Bortles. And, you know, he's in his fifth season, and maybe Blake isn't so bad. Maybe there is room for improvement. And I just want to make sure I have the statistics correct. Yeah, it is his. I clicked on the wrong thing.
It's
Blake
50.
Bortles. He's only 25. No, he just turned 26 in April. He is in his fifth year. But what I was going to try to make the comparison is the guy that we spent all morning, the previous part of the morning, talking about. And that's Case Keenum. And Bortles has been through some coaching changes. Keenum obviously went through coaching and team changes. He won three teams. That was his third team. It's now his fourth team for Keenum. And it wasn't until last year in his age 29 season, and he came out of college late, remember. He played basically a fifth year. He had his knee injury his senior year at Houston, so he stayed like a full year. He wasn't touted in the draft at all. He's basically a college free agent, so he stayed that extra year, broke the NCAA record for passing yards, and he came out as a 24-year-old rookie, as opposed to Bortles, who came out a year early. He must have been 21 when he came out. But it wasn't until his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, last year was his sixth season in the league, Case Keenum. And it was the first time where people were like, hey, this guy can play. Prior to that, he had not reached a 61% completion percentage at any point in his career. He wasn't even a regular starter, to be honest. He was a backup and then was in there for an abysmal 2013 Houston season where he went 0-8. You bashed Jeff Fisher a little bit there on Case Keenum. And, you know, he had some issues with him as well. But, you know, last year in his sixth season was the first time Case Keenum sort of proved that maybe he was here to stay. And a lot of guys don't get that chance. Bortles has been the starter since he's been there. It's now his fifth season. So if we're playing this game, maybe there is room for him to continue to grow. What is perplexing about Bortles to me oftentimes is that he's not always bad. There are times where it's like, oh, it's pretty damn good.
Underrated runner.
I will cite examples A and B. The Buffalo Bills playoff game, which they barely won when he was awful, and then he lit up the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, well, Bortles has been the Steelers, like, tell the tale of that team last year, really as a whole. But, you know, Bortles has had his moments, I think. I think that that's fair to say. You know, so...
Yeah.
To me, the one thing I was just kind of saying is
highest completion percentage in his career last year.
Yeah, this is the year, though, where he now is kind of, it's up to him to elevate those around him instead of vice versa. The receiving core is the worst that he's had. Andrew Norwell is there, and Fournette, we know that he's going to make him better. But now it is time to see if Bortles can just make defenses respect him a little bit. And I do think it's going to be necessary because I do not think that this defense is going to be as good as it was last season.
Can I submit one more piece of evidence in his favor? His first two seasons, 2014, he took 55 sacks, led the league. 2015, second season, took 51 sacks, led the league. 2016, down to 34, and last year, 24. It's a huge difference in the style of play that you can get used to. In doing that, instead of having to chuck the ball as soon as you get it, you can hang in there. And obviously, well, here's the reality for Bortles and why he will remain in the 20s, really, in ranking for this season, is that they're going to be a really low-volume passing team. Last year, they were, as I try to bring this up, last year, pass attempts, 21st. Like it's, but they also ran the most plays in the league. That could happen again, but it'll be a relatively low-volume passing team. Now, with the defense putting him in such good positions, could they have more scoring opportunities? You know, that probably looks similar to last year. The team really, they really kept teams out of the end zone pretty consistently. So, look, Bortles is a viable QB2. I think we can close the book and say that he's the viable QB2. I think the more important discussion is what you were talking about, is the receivers. And what does this even look like this year? Jake Seely and I talked about it a bunch yesterday. Marquise Lee, Dante Moncrief, DJ Chark, Rashad Green, Dede Westbrook. And, you know, you read a different story every day about a Jaguars receiver stepping up in camp. But realistically, I don't know how much volume any of these guys will see this year in order to make them, you know, a standout. What I'm trying to find is, as my computer crashes on me, I'll get the numbers for you on the receivers and where they're being drafted, but I'll let you comment on the receiving core in general.
I think that it's very difficult, you know, fantasy wise, to gauge who you should be targeting, because I don't think that any of these wide receivers can make a claim to be clearly better than the next. There are some people who are really, really excited about DJ Chark. He had a nice catch over Jalen Ramsey in camp, and you know, some people's eyes were popping on Twitter. Dede Westbrook has a good pedigree. I think Marquise Lee was something that we know had potential. Keelan Cole had some big games last year. So that's one of the things that, you know, you think about the Dallas Cowboys, right? They're probably very similar in how we view the offensive weapons in the passing game, these two teams, I think. Allen Hurns is the guy that we see most often because he should be the best wide receiver that this team has. We've just seen him produce at a higher level than Terrence Williams, Michael Gallup as a rookie, and we know Cole Beasley is kind of a slot guy. We don't even have that type of separation within this offense. It almost makes me just turn my attention to Austin Seferian Jenkins, where at least I can say, okay, he's the tight end, and maybe there are some touchdowns there. But again, with the way the tight end position is, how many are even getting drafted in leagues? 15, if you're doing...
Yeah, I mean, Marquise Lee is the 47th wide receiver coming off the board right now. He saw 96 targets last year. You mentioned Keelan Cole. He saw a surprising 81 targets last year. A lot of it was backloaded second half of the year. You know, he had, let's see. Yeah, he had a big week, 23-47, big end of the year, 23-475 and three touchdowns from week 13 on. So that's where he saw a lot of his value. You know, he had a 99-yard game, a 186-yard game, a 108-yard game. That's in 14, 15, and 16. So the irony is that if you picked up Keelan Cole and somehow rode him through the playoffs, he was going to help you win. If you had like a Todd Gurley-Keelan Cole combination, they could have won you a championship, even though Gurley probably did it on his own. But I think that's where we're at. None of these guys is considered to be even really a wide receiver. Marquise Lee, barely a wide receiver four. Going to be pretty low volume passing. Jake likes Dante Moncrief as like sort of a sneaky guy in these rankings, only because you're basically, as he likes to say, you're basically getting him for free. Mm-hmm. When you think about your draft, he's the 69th wide receiver coming off the board, so he is being drafted, although extremely late. When you think about it in terms of your league, I can promise everyone out there listening that 0% of you will draft the team that is in a regular league. We're not talking best ball. 0% of you will draft the team and leave it accordingly. Those picks from 10 on are fungible in many cases. You're taking a little bit of a shot. Maybe this guy breaks out. He either gets hurt or you realize he doesn't have a role in the offense and you cut him loose. Sometimes prematurely, sometimes it's the right move. But some of these guys could be that guy. I think Marquise Lee will be your flex type of wide receiver, bye week type of guy. Everybody else, I'm out. I don't care how fast DJ Chark is right now. If he's third at best on the depth chart in the Jacksonville offense, that is a low number of targets. And when I add in Jenkins, as you said, and Fournette and TJ Yeldon, where is he going to come in targets this year? Sixth? For a rookie, that's nothing. There's no value there. if he somehow breaks onto the scene, you'd be lucky to get a bunch of production out of him. But people talking to me about rookie wide receivers over and over again, I tend to get irritated with it, only because historically there isn't much value for rookie wide receivers, even those in good positions. But we did talk a little. And anything else on the Jaguars? Because I have a good transition to make.
I apologize to stop your transition. I think it's very important, though, to mention this defense. Last year, defensively, DVOA, the top team. And the thing that also stands out is, according to DVOA, they faced the second easiest schedule. And when you look through it, it makes sense. They played Watson for a half. They never played Andrew Luck. They lost both games to the Titans. They played the Bengals, the Browns. Blaine Gabbert beat them. And I almost feel like this is a great way to kind of capture what this team was. Last year, when you look at that game against Pittsburgh, they almost forced Ben Roethlisberger into retirement. It's literally what happened. They lost to the Jets the week before that. This was a team that was very sporadic. Their highs were as good as any defense in football.
By the way, they nearly blew that playoff game to the Steelers.
100%.
That should be noted.
And
Steelers came all the way back on them.
They gave up 42 points. They beat the Steelers with their offense. And you now turn to this year's schedule. They play the NFC East. Giants, Eagles, Redskins, Cowboys. Those are good offenses. Now you look at the division. Watson and Luck back. Considering that they lost both games to the Titans. That's very, very scary for them. They also got a first place schedule. Which sees them play
Chiefs,
the Steelers and the Chiefs. They've played the whole AFC
and the
East.
Pats.
Yeah, so they play the AFC East. So they have the Pats automatically. And they luckily then get to play Buffalo, Miami, and the Jets. But you still have now a first-place schedule, a significantly better division quarterback-wise, and an NFC East that I would say has... I mean, there's no bottom 10 offense in the NFC East. So this is a situation that's, I think,
I'm
going to really
make you
different.
Do this game by game.
Sure.
You are going to do this one. So at Giants, they open up.
Only me. I've gone back and forth with this whole thing. I don't know if I want to go through the whole thing game by game, because I'll tell you right now, I look at those first three games.
Why?
Because there's too much that you have to count in. Because who teams play the week before that,
you're
travel.
Hold you to it.
Sure, we'll go game by game. I'll say they lose.
I'm going to hold you to it.
I know.
I'm lying. I'm going to hold you to it.
I know you will.
At Giants.
Loss.
Pats at home.
Win.
They're gonna beat the Patriots in Jacksonville?
Yes.
All right. In Jacksonville, they're hosting the Titans.
Loss.
Really? That's weird. Hosting the Jets.
Win.
2-2. At Chiefs.
Win.
At Dallas.
Loss.
3-3. Hosting Houston, then hosting the Eagles.
Beat Houston, lose to the Eagles.
4-4. Bye week 9, then go to Indy.
Win. Off a bye.
5-4, hosting the Steelers.
Loss.
Beat him twice last year.
That's not happening again.
5-5. At Buffalo.
Win.
6-5, hosting Indy.
Loss.
6-6 at the Titans.
Loss.
6-7, hosting Washington.
Win.
7-7 at Miami, and then at Houston to close it out.
Give me a split.
8-8. That would be a hell of a regression for them.
But I mean, look,
they really would be. But the division's better in your estimation.
The division is way better. There was two bottom five teams, two bottom four teams in that division last year. The division is, and think about what we both think about the Tennessee Titans. This is the offenses that they're going to face just in division are so much better. What do you mean? Could be. As if Watson
they're going to be better.
Yeah, there's is if they have Watson and Luck at quarterback, there's nothing that stops those teams from being better than what they were last year. They can't be worse than what those teams were offensively if those
Colts
two guys are at quarterback. Yeah, for
Colts
sure.
Colts in particular.
So
so there you go. You have the you're out on the Jags this year. So we'll see. I mean, I think.
Am I off base?
As I said, they finished 20. No, I don't think it's crazy the way you're talking about it. But I think the defense could be actually even better. They're the number one ranked defense they're the number one ranked defense because Ramsey's more experienced and they have other guys with even more experience. They could be even better.
How do you justify the variance of it?
They were second in the league in sacks. Well, if we're talking fantasy football, they're the number one ranked defense. They're not the first. I don't necessarily take that defense first. Somebody else always does. But along with the Vikings, Eagles, and Rams up at the top, I'm likely to wait for somebody like the Falcons, who are ranked way down and can be very opportunistic. So we'll come back. We're going to talk Colts after the break on FNTSY.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back on FNTSY, we're going to talk Colts here in a second. Now, the one guy we didn't talk about, the Jags, Kevin, was T.J. Yeldon. He's the 59th running back off the board. And I just think it's important to note that if you play the handcuff game, he's got to be a guy you're looking at. I mean, just last year alone, to give you – let me look this up. I want to see where he finished. Got a fair amount of targets. Yeah, it looks like he's outside the top 40. But I'm just saying, given the volume that Fournette sees, you have to be mindful of the fact that Yeldon could be somebody to take a look at. He was just outside that top 40. He was like 44th in the league last year. I mean, 87 fantasy points is nothing to write home about. He only caught 30 passes. But it could be... Ranked 16th amongst backs with 116 receptions since he entered the league. But anyway, he just doesn't see the ball enough on a regular basis. But as the 59th running back off the board, if you're rostering six running backs, you can do the math. He's somebody's fifth running back and may very well be the Fournette owner's draft pick. But on to the Colts. You mentioned, I'm going to give you the floor because you mentioned, obviously, given the fact that Andrew Luck is back, their offense is going to be markedly better, as good a job as Jacoby Brissett did coming in as late as he did. Andrew Luck comes back. We've had a lot of hand-wringing, consternation about whether or not this is a guy that you can trust, but they've managed him slowly all throughout this process. He obviously hasn't thrown a football in a game in coming up on 19 months, I believe it is. Maybe more, maybe 20 months. So he's currently a top 10 quarterback, ranked as a top 10 quarterback in fantasy football. Do you have any issues with taking him as high as he's being drafted?
No, I don't, because I think that Andrew Luck was a guy that was highly touted coming out of college and did nothing but show that it made sense. I mean, every year they were having playoff success. And the numbers were there to back it up. It is a matter of health. 2015 played the seven games. 2016 played 15 and then missed all of last year. I saw him throw the football down the field, like maybe 30-some-odd yards pass the other day on a video on Twitter. And it's just, as long as he can throw the ball. There's nothing that should stop Andrew Luck from being a top 10 quarterback. The one thing I will say that is a little bit different with Luck's return, because on a regular basis, pretty much for the Colts for the last how many years, ever since Peyton was there, as long as Peyton or Luck was at quarterback, they were going to win the division, partly because they were the best guy, but also because the rest of the division rarely had their stuff together. Andrew Luck does come back to a much better division. So now to where it's not as simple as they've got Luck, they win the division. So I do think that he's going to come back to a tougher spot. But in terms of his own team, running game's always been terrible. So that'll be the same. But the offensive line should be better. And having, you know, Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron, there should be tight end production there. He's used to there not being much of the wide receivers. T.Y. Hilton is still there. So, you know, I heard someone the other day say that, you know, Andrew Luck might be coming back to the best offensive situation that he's actually been in since being in Indianapolis. And that might actually be the case.
Yeah, so right now Luck is being drafted. I'm on Fantasy Football Calculator for this one. You can use a variety of different sources to gauge ADP, but we'll give them a shout-out for this. He is currently the ninth quarterback off the board, going basically end of the eighth round, overall 93rd pick. So do the math either way. 93rd pick, right behind Cam Newton and Kirk Cousins, right in front of Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Stafford. He and Cousins are sort of tied at the hip in these rankings. But I don't have a problem with that. You're waiting eight rounds, almost a ninth round, in order to pick up Andrew Luck. I'm okay with it. I think, as Kevin said, there's just enough upside there for what he's done in his career that you'll be able to utilize him. Now, a couple of years ago, the Colts were so bad when he was out there, and that he still dragged them to like an 8-8 record. I think, you know, a lot of recency bias and things of that nature can show up when you're doing these rankings, but I think it needs to be people need to be reminded of how good he has been in the past, certainly as a fantasy football QB. And as I'm going to, here's what we'll say about the Colts in general. You know, they got a new head coach now, Frank Reich, new head coach. You feel good about him?
I do. I think you should. I mean, it's a year one head coach, but if we're going to get all excited about Matt Nagy over in Chicago, Frank Reich, offensive coordinator of that Philadelphia Eagles offense.
I totally agree. I would normally make fun of you for being a homer, but I'm
not being a homer if it's real. Stop saying it. It's facts.
Would you stop? I said I would like to make fun of you for being a homer. However, in this instance, I thought Frank Reich was a guy that should have had a head job already. I do like him. I think he's could be a really good complement to Luck. I thought Josh McDaniels could have been as well, but I think both good offensive minds. They know they needed somebody from an offensive standpoint to really work with Luck in order to get him back to the levels where he was. I mean, last year they were bottom three in offense and defense. I still have a lot of defensive questions about them. They drafted an offensive lineman in order to help out Andrew Luck, which is a good thing. They drafted Quentin Nelson, who some people consider to be the best talent in the entire draft. They drafted Braden Smith as a guard in round two. So they will potentially have two rookies. They have a young center in Ryan Kelly, a veteran left tackle in Anthony Costanzo, and a right tackle in Denzel Good. So I think you can feel pretty good about half that line. I don't know much about Braden Smith at this point. Mm-hmm. So there could be some questions there, but the reality is Luck is better protected now than he has been most likely in a couple of years. Yeah. Now, the running game, I have Marlon Mack as a keeper in one league, and I will probably keep him, but almost everybody is expecting Nyheim Hines and or Jordan Wilkins to bust into this backfield and make Marlon Mack a bust of a pick. Mm-hmm. The strategy in that league is I'm going to have Marlon Mack for a relatively decent price, so that's why I'll hang on to him. But this could very well be the type of committee that is the most frustrating, because it could be Marlon Mack for a couple of games, then Nyheim Hines for a couple of games, and then Jordan Wilkins for a couple of games. It may not be each guy getting, you know, how they normally split it up, like a 12-7-5 type of carries thing. Mm-hmm. It could be, all right, you've got the ball for a couple of games, you've got the ball for a couple of games, to see who is successful.
Yeah, I think the one thing that you can hope, or you have to hope, is that Marlon Mack can just handle a lot of the first and second down work and not have Wilkins and Himes then take away his touchdowns. That's what you'd have to hope. The last time Luck was on the field, Frank Gore was the lead guy, saw 263 carries. He had four touchdowns. Robert Turbin had seven touchdowns that year. If there are 11, you know, if there's 11 rushing touchdowns to be had, Luck had two himself. If you have Marlon Mack, the hope would be if, say, there's, let's just say there's 11 to go around again, you'd like to see him have seven like Turbin had that year, and not the other way around, because I don't think you can count on Marlon Mack becoming the three down back and holding both of those guys completely out of the action.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll get you there. ADPs right now. As we talk about the Colts right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Mac, what we got here, Mac, 32nd running back off the board, right behind Tevin Coleman and Rex Burkhead, right in front of Isaiah Crowell and Kerryon Johnson. So, look, I'm keeping Marlon Mack in that one league, but I like the first three guys I mentioned more than him, Coleman, Burkhead, and Crowell. Kerryon Johnson, that's another committee. We've talked about the Lions a lot, and that is another committee that I actually don't want anything to do with. I think the Lions is more difficult because Blunt is there. He's going to take most of the touchdown opportunities, regardless of who the guy with the most carries in. Whether it's him or not, he's going to get those goal line carries. So I actually like Mack more than Johnson, if that makes sense. But both of them, I don't think I really want a part of, because I see straight-up committees. Coleman always gets touches, for example.
Yeah.
And if Freeman went down, he'd be a really good back in that offense. Burkhead, I'm not in love with the Patriots running back situation ever, but I think Burkhead will be second in fantasy points to Sony Michel this year. You'll have your James White mixed in. But in that offense, I think it's Michel, Burkhead, White. Does that make sense from a fantasy production standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, Burkhead still having his job when he when it was his helmet that cut open.
Scored a lot of touchdowns.
Brady, I'm saying when, but it was his helmet who opened Brady's hand in that practice.
I blame Brady.
I'm just saying, like, the fact that they kept Burkhead, he must really like Rex. Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I do think that when you get to a certain point, though. In those later rounds, like, I definitely agree on Isaiah Crowell. You know, if you have a guy like Marlon Mack, though, who does have the potential to be the lead back, where Tevin Coleman does not have the potential unless there's an injury. And Rex Burkhead, I mean, what do we do with the Patriots, right? So he doesn't have that potential. I'm okay if you go Marlon Mack. Now, if you're comfortable at running back, again, that's why roster depends on where you should go, and you're just looking for a guy that you can just rely on in a couple of weeks, and you know, like, he's going to have some type of role, then yeah, I'm okay with Coleman, and I'm okay with Rex Burkhead as well going over him. I wanted to ask you about this tight end situation quickly, because I know you're big
Doyle.
I know you're big on Jack Doyle. So I was doing early best balls, like early, and I actually drafted.
Well, let me throw a little cold water on my own point. I do like Jack Doyle. But he caught 80 passes last year because things were falling apart at the seams. I can't expect him to match that, but I still like him based on where I'm getting him, because he's the 12th tight end off the board. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the thing I was drafting in an early best ball, and I guess I just missed Eric Ebron being on the Colts. I drafted the both of them, like, relatively close to each other to be my two tight ends in a best ball. Just completely missed it. I was like, oh, that's a problem. And then I was like, oh, do I need to be worried about Jack Doyle that Eric Ebron is there? And I think what you said right there in terms of Doyle getting 80 receptions and 107 targets is likely to regress, but I'm not sure what's going to stop him from still being the second most targeted Colt. And if that remains the same, then I don't worry too much about Ebron then.
It's a, that's a, so you led into my next point. So, and Jack Doyle again, the 12th one off the board. Where's Ebron? He's 17th. So, you know, we got, so you have to consider that, but I'm out on Ebron. I'm just not a fan of him as a player. I think Doyle would have to get hurt for Ebron to have any consistent production, but you made the point I was going to transition to, which is talking about the receiving core. T.Y. Hilton currently, he's still a very well-respected wide receiver in fantasy circles. Right now he is going as the 10th receiver off the board. Sorry, that's standard. Keeps resetting me to PPR. Go back 13th. So it does drop him a lot. Obviously, he's a home run hitter type of player. Anytime you own T.Y. Hilton, I'll tell you, because I've had him many times in the past, he is a very up and down, peaks and valleys kind of guy, but he has now an all pro bowl level quarterback playing with him again. And he will have the opportunity to hit more home runs than, say, he did last year. But what Jake Seeley and I talked about yesterday, again, you can find him on Twitter at AllInKid. I'm at Mike Blewett. Kevin is at the Kevin Walsh. So what he said, when we're talking about rookie wide receivers, we mentioned DJ Chark earlier, and we'll get into some rookies from the Titans and Texans as well as we continue along with our AFC South previews. What you need to figure out with rookies at any position, but in particular wide receiver, is what is the clearest path to targets? Doesn't matter where you got drafted, first round, second round, and in this instance, sixth round. Jake is all over Deion Kane because he feels like he is a very good complement to T.Y. Hilton, and he has the clearest path. Doesn't mean he's starting now, but the clearest path to getting on the field and seeing a lot of targets in a Colts offense that could, if the defense continues to falter the way they did last year, even if they improve, they're not going to be very good. Could see a lot of passing volume, and he could be a guy that gets on the field. Ryan Grant is who they signed in the offseason from Washington. Chester Rogers is still there, but we sort of know what he is. And Deion Kane could be a really interesting sleeper in your drafts. And I'll tell you where he's going right now. It's, as Jake said yesterday, he's basically free. 115th wide receiver off the board, currently being ranked. All you need to do is pick him up in the last round.
Yeah, I think this is the thing you have to keep in mind. Last year, they threw the ball under 500 times. Luck in 2016 threw the ball 545 times in just 15 games. So keep that in mind, that there's going to be likely maybe an extra 100 plus to even more so targets to go around. And Luck's completion percentage should be better than a Jacoby Brissett. So there might also be another 100-some-odd catches to go around. So while there could be regression in percentages, the volume might still be there because Luck is going to throw the ball significantly more than it was thrown last year with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback.
Yeah, what they really, really need to do, because they got run over last year, so teams controlled the clock on them. It's what kept their play, their number of plays down. So they were 30 most rushing attempts against, 26 most yards, third most rushing attempts against, tons of yards and rushing touchdowns given up. So they had the clock controlled on them quite a bit. We're going to talk about the Titans after the break, but we can wrap up a couple of things on the Colts after the break as well. They added a few defenders in later, second round and later rounds. There's still a lot of questions there. They get Malik Hooker back off an ACL. He's not on the PUP list anymore, so that's a positive. We'll come back. We'll talk Titans. If we need to wrap up on the Colts as well, we can do that. So it's Mike and Kevin headed to hour number three on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.